People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for your sin. And when you stand up for Jesus, you pray for a meal, you witness to a friend, and you are criticized, you are demoted because you stood up for Jesus, then God's word says it is a joy to identify with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Continuing Through Trials.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God says, I'm going to show my power in you as a weak person. I'm going to give you strength, and they're going to know that that strength came from me. So Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul is saying, so I'm going to have joy in my infirmity. I'm going to thank God for this infirmity. Why? Because he had gained perspective that God was going to do something through it. Now, I've seen God save souls through hospital stays, and I've seen God touch lives through difficulty. And there's just, God is working in ways we cannot always see or understand. Now, our natural response is not to seek perspective. It's not to find God's joy. Our natural response is to deal with it in our own way. Americans consume about 30 million aspirin every day, and many Americans consume a lot heavier than aspirin trying to deal with their anxiety. But God says, I want you to bring it to me. Let me give you perspective, and let me help you find that there is a reason, and that ultimately you can rejoice that I worked in your life through this time. So we must make an accounting when those difficulties come. We must see God is in it. He is sovereign. He is in control. He has a reason. I don't always understand the reason immediately. Secondly, not only do I need an accounting, but I need an assurance. An assurance. Now come back to verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Notice this here. When ye fall into diverse temptations. Now, I want you to notice it doesn't say if ye fall in. It says when ye fall in. And here's the assurance that I want you to have from the Bible. Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So one verse says, when the trials come, they're going to come. One verse says, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. The assurance is that when they come, he is there. He is always there. He is already there. He is waiting for you. And when you fall into, or when you are surrounded by diverse or all these different kinds of trials or testings, know that God is there with us. And so the first thing that we need with respect to the trials of life is a perspective. We need to count this, make an accounting of this. Lord, what is the purpose here? And as we begin to discover that purpose, there is the renewal of joy in our hearts that God has a reason in that moment. Now let's elaborate further on that in this second thought. Let's notice secondly, the product of trials. Now, one of the things that gives us perspective is that we as Christians believe God's not going to waste this. God has something good he's going to do through this, all right? How many of you, by the way, believe that God is a good God? And God has a purpose in the difficulties. And that's what we want to see here. Verse number 3, please. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, James does not say that we should rejoice in trials because they are fun. Okay? I've never had a trial that's fun. I've never been to the hospital and just thought, isn't this a fun place to go now? My first responsibility coming back in this week was a funeral service for a friend. And I didn't go to that thinking, boy, this is fun. That's not what James is saying, that these are fun things, so let's rejoice. Because we tend to only rejoice at Disneyland or when the Cowboys or the 49ers win and things of this nature. But God says, I want you to get a little deeper in life, and I want you to rejoice when I'm working. And I want you to see something. I want you to see that we don't rejoice because of the trials. We rejoice because of knowing that God will not waste the trial. That God is going to do something when difficult times come into our life. That they will benefit our life. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you could say this? Pastor, there have been times when I've had an aching heart, and there have been times when difficulty came into my life, and I learned more about God and more about His Word during that time than during other times of maybe just study when things were going well. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Someone said it this way. Someone said that God speaks to us and he whispers to us in the normal times, but He shouts to us in the painful times. It is to say that when we're going through times of pain, that we are much more attentive to hear what God is saying to us. And there's a production of His will within us during those times. So notice, first of all, our confidence in trials. Verse 3, knowing this, I love that word. God's saying, be sure of this. I want you to know, if you're a college student getting ready to go back to perhaps a secular college and you pray for your lunch or you bring a Bible and someone curses at you or some professor ridicules you, God says, I want you to know something. I want you to know that I'm there with you and that I'm working with you and that I have a purpose for this. Romans 8:28, we studied several weeks ago. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. So we don't have to question God. We know that God is there. We know that God is working. And He says in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that's that word testing, that it works, it accomplishes something. What does it accomplish? Now notice this word in verse 3, that it worketh patience, that is steadfastness, that is endurance. God is telling us that there are moments when He wants us to stand for Him, and that there may be, prior to those great moments of usefulness, difficult times that build patience within us, that build character within us, so that we can step out onto the field of life and stand for Him. And that's what the word patience means. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And God has used this over and over again to help people to grow, to become strong in their Christian life. Now, most of us, when the trial comes, we want it over fast. We're like the little boy who prayed to the Lord. And he said, oh, Lord, please give me patience. I really need patience. And do hurry up, Lord. That's how we are. We want God to do what we want Him to do. We want Him to do it now. But sometimes it takes longer. For Joseph, it took 13 years. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers for doing nothing other than just tell a dream that God gave him. They didn't like his dream. They didn't like his coat of many colors. They threw him into slavery. He was taken to Egypt's land. He was accused falsely by Potiphar's wife. He was put into prison. He went through all the rigors and difficulties of slavery and prison, but he never got bitter. He never became angry at God. So many Christians, when they go through some trials, the first thing they want to do is quit this and quit that and get mad at someone else who's not at a trial at the same time. By the way, trials come to everybody. And oftentimes people quit along the way, but Joseph did not quit. Joseph was faithful. And 13 years after he was sold into slavery, you know the story, his brethren came seeking food for their father. And when they recognized Joseph, and when they realized that Joseph recognized them, they thought, we're about to die. But Joseph said to his brothers, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You see, Joseph might have thought, you know, look at this being sold into slavery and placed into the prison and living in this foreign land, and all of these trials and all of this that he was enduring was preparing him for the day when he would rule over all the resources of the world. God had a plan for his life. And that's why we can rejoice. God is doing something that we may not understand. Do you know when Paul the apostle was stoned at Lystra, he was thrown outside of that city, laying there in a pool of blood. The Bible says a little band of believers stood around about him. I believe Lois and Eunice were among the crowd, and I believe Timothy was amongst the crowd. And Paul may have wondered, what in the world? I'm laying here. He was nearly dead. He was thought to have been dead. It may have seemed like a waste to him, but what he did not know was the inspiration that he had become to a young man named Timothy, who would be a great preacher in that first century. You see, you don't know when you go through your trial who's watching you, what character that's instilling in your son or your daughter, what that's doing for someone in your Sunday school class. God is working all the time through these challenges. That's why 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can have confidence in these trials, that God is working in those times. Secondly, we must have continuance in these trials. Verse 4, please. The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. Now again, many Christians, when this development of patience or spiritual maturity begins, many times the tendency is just to say, I'm out of here. But God says, hold on. And this is what Pastor James is saying. Don't quit. When the trial comes, when the stress comes, wait. Let this run its course. At our home, we have a washing machine, and I do my best to stay away from it as often as possible. I have a wonderful, gracious wife who seems to be an expert at those things, and she loves me enough to help me with those areas. But I know enough about the washing machine to know that it has cycles. And I know it has a rinse cycle and a soak cycle and a spin cycle. And I don't understand all the engineering behind it, but I know that all the cycles are important. And I know that if you take a particular garment that has just spun around enough to get soap on it, and you don't let it rinse and go through the rinse cycle, and you just take it out of that spin cycle, throw it in the dryer a little bit and put it on, somewhere later that afternoon, you're going to be itching all over because of all that detergent that's still there. Because you rushed the washing machine, right? And James is saying to the church, don't rush the washing machine. Don't quit on God. God has a finished product in mind. Let patience have her complete work. Now, God is merciful, so when we jump out impatiently, he always welcomes us back, but we normally have to learn that lesson all over again. So God, look at verse 4. God says, let patience have her perfect work. This is what Jesus did. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he came to the Father and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Then he said, nevertheless, not, say it with me, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, I'm going to continue with this, Father, because I want your will to be done. So we see here that there is a continuance that must take place. And then notice, thirdly, there's a cleansing. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. Her perfect work. Now please catch this. The word perfect means maturing or complete. God has a complete work that he wants to do in your life. Much like a parent who sees the development of the character of a child, much more so, God sees our character development. And God wants it to be complete. He doesn't want it to be short-circuited. And the fact is that we are either going through life or we are growing through life. And God wants us to be growing through this life, maturing and becoming more like him. Now, if you've ever read Romans 8:29 says that it is the will of God that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, please understand me. God has never promised that we would always be comfortable, but he has promised that his will is that we would be conformable. God's will is not always comfortable, but it is conformable. And sometimes God will use the difficult chiseling of a trial or the molding of a trial to bring us into the image of Jesus Christ, the maturity of Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes the trials are a time of cleansing. Illustration. I've seen many times men that I love, men that profess Christ as Savior, but men that are not living for God. And their family's in church and they're going through some motions, but truth be told, they're not living for the Lord in the way that they should. Sometimes there are hidden sins, other things. But suddenly there comes into these families, maybe a car accident. And suddenly I meet them in the emergency room, and the man who at work a few hours before was cussing and saying vile things and planning vile activities, and the man who perhaps just a few hours before was given to other issues of sin and so forth, suddenly at this moment in the hospital, there is a sobriety that has come over him, and he's not cussing to God, and he's not demonstrating those other worldly tendencies. In fact, more than anything, what he wants is an audience with God. And suddenly, through the trial, there's a cleansing starting to happen. And I can guarantee you that every trial that comes, one of the things we want to count at that moment is, Lord, what do you want to change in my heart right now? I've been running from you. You're trying to get my attention. Is my prayer life not what it should be? Have I been doing some things you don't want me to do? I can guarantee you that any truly saved man in the moment of a trial or temptation is going to come to this place of wanting to be cleansed and honest with God, because it is at that moment where the Bible says in verse 4 that we may be perfect and entire, which means someone that is fully mature and developed spiritually. And God has been doing things in the way of maturing people that could only happen in such an environment as this time of trial and testing. And I'm just simply saying, God doesn't want to waste your trial, so don't you waste the trial. Let patience, let this process, whatever it is you're going through, don't quit on God, but continue with God. And God will show you ultimately that he wanted to strengthen you through it all. And that he wanted to strengthen your marriage and strengthen your family. And he wanted somehow to create something in you so that you could help others in their time of trial as well. Notice what it says in 1 Peter 5:10, and we'll move on. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Notice this phrase. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After you have suffered a while. Now, your suffering might be different than someone else's, and the context of all of this is suffering for the faith. But God says, after that takes place, I'm going to have you in a position of strength that you would have never known prior to this situation. So let me work. Let me have my way. And some of you, that's the only decision you need to make this morning, is just to say, Lord, have your way in my life. I'm not going to fight you, Lord. I want you to have your way in my life. All right, let's notice finally this morning then the provision in trials. We see the perspective, count it, get perspective. We see the product, maturity. Thirdly, the provision, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, wives, don't nudge your husbands yet, okay, please. We all lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now let me tell you something. When you're in the moment of a trial in a difficult time, besides the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you need God's wisdom at those times. Sometimes we don't even know what to do or what to say to somebody. And God says, when you're in this trial, I want you to know that I have this provision for you. Notice, first of all, our need. If any of you lack wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, he says, I want you to come and ask. And the Bible speaks of this in Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. God wants us to come to him in our time of need. All of us need wisdom. I have nearly every day, except maybe a handful, I've woken up and prayed for the wisdom of God to be a pastor. And I started off so young, and now that I'm just a little bit older, I still need God's wisdom every single day to do the things God wants me to do. Parents need wisdom, and grandparents need wisdom, and we need wisdom at work, and spouses need wisdom, and we need God's wisdom to know how to live each and every day. And he knows our need. But then notice it says in verse 5, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men. So notice, secondly, God's provision. He says, I'm going to give you wisdom generously. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now don't be like the guy in Texas who always wore the t-shirt that said, take my advice, I don't use it. There's a lot of people who get God's wisdom, but they don't use it. If God gives you something through His Word or through a sermon or through a Sunday school class, use it. It could be that which spares you from such trial. Take His wisdom and apply it to your life. God says, this wisdom shall be given to you. And I got to tell you something as I close. I have watched people over the years who apply the wisdom of God and what beautiful things He does through their trials. It's amazing. And I've watched people over the years who get frustrated, they quit, they get discouraged, and it just never does get right. Perhaps you've heard the story of Dave Reaver, the Vietnam veteran. One day, as he was doing battle for our country, he took a phosphorus grenade. He was preparing to throw the grenade, and somehow a malfunction took place, and his body became covered with this chemical. 37% of his body was burned. His entire face was disfigured. Somehow, he wanted relief from that malfunction, and he ran into the nearest body of water, not realizing that water literally created a reaction and that that chemical would be even more embedded into his skin and literally like firecrackers all over his body. His body was popping. And when he came out of that water, some of his fellow soldiers heard him say, "God, I will never deny you." And you can read his story on the internet or in his autobiography. Dave Reaver was placed into an ambulance and taken first to a field hospital and then taken to a hospital in Thailand. And they bandaged most of his body, and especially his face was bandaged. And finally, the day came when they removed some of the bandaging and he saw something he never thought he'd see. He thought of many things. He thought of the Lord. He prayed. He thought of his wife mostly. He thought of what she would think. He remembered very vividly the day when the soldier next to him, who had lost both legs and an arm, had his wife come and visit from the States. He watched that young lady as she stood at that man's bed. She took her ring off her hand, placed it on his chest, and said, "I didn't marry a cripple," and walked away. Dave said he could not wait to see his wife, but he feared the day of seeing his wife. Finally, the day came. He had been praying, but he didn't know if she'd been praying. He remembered the steps as she walked down the hallway. He was told she was coming. He knew it was her. She came around the corner. She looked at him. She took his hand and said, "Hello, Davey. It sure is good to see you." He said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how I look." She said, "Oh, you were never that good looking anyways to begin with." And because two people chose to follow the grace of God and to remain committed to the Lord, Dave Reaver is an evangelist today who preaches all over the country, helping people to overcome the trials that come into their life. Let patience have its perfect work. You say, "But Pastor, what's happened to me because I tried to be a witness, it's not fair. Pastor, what I'm going through in my family, it's not fair. Pastor, what we're experiencing in the hospital, it's not fair." I'm just here to tell you that God, through it all, wants to do something beautiful. And God wants to do something in your life. And I encourage you today, get the proper accounting, get His wisdom, and continue for Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.